Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Hello, everybody. We are back for another episode of Unboxed, but it's different this time, and it's better than ever. We're changing things up. It's going to move more now into a show which hopefully provides you with the value that you need as an aspiring creator, aspiring presenter, aspiring music artist, from someone who is managing creators every single day, from someone who has worked at the top level of talent management for the last 5 years. So we've got three amazing stories for you this week. It's been a really massive week. We're filming this just after the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl being the biggest cultural event in the world. Over 134 million people tune in, obviously predominantly in America. And the Super Bowl brings with it this incredible fanfare and opportunity for people associated with the Super Bowl to have their big moment. I wanted to start today by talking about Usher. Usher, as we know, the legendary R&B singer who has captivated people across the world for the last three decades. Usher has just captivated audiences for a very, very long time. And off the back of the Super Bowl, he, as we know, was the halftime performer. Halftime performance is the most coveted spot, really, in entertainment. That is the live moment of your career times 100. Very, very few artists get the opportunity to do it. But the interesting thing for me about this is that Usher did it for free. Usher did not get paid to perform the halftime show at the Super Bowl. And people might go, what? Usher? His fee probably is in the region of, you know, a million a show, I'd imagine. This is the interesting thing. So let's dig into this right now. Matt Ryan, who writes this for musicfutures.com, essentially explains the uplift in the brand value that you get from the Super Bowl. Spotify streams for Rihanna 2023 increased by 640%. In the hour after the game ended. That is massive. And then obviously that boost in streaming leads to increased chart positions. You often see artists going back into the charts after the Super Bowl, which is a massive thing, right? Especially in America where the charts are so competitive. You have a broader playlist presence because your songs are getting boosted. Spotify adds them to other playlists and so does Apple. And then of course you've got increased royalties off the back of that. So you will, let's say, have a monthly Spotify royalty revenue of around $856,000 if you're somebody like Rihanna. Annualized, that's over $10 million in passive royalty income from Spotify. Now, if you're increasing that through the Super Bowl, that is a massive, massive uplift. Again, you're making way more money through doing something for free. Obviously, this is an extreme example, but there's something important for you to think about in this, and that is the power of sometimes doing things for free. Now, this is the biggest and the most absurd example, right? None of us are going to headline the Super Bowl, but in your own life as a creator, as a talent, there will be moments where you will be asked to do things, sometimes for not that much money, if any money at all. And I think many people now, especially the younger generation coming through, I do sense a little bit of resentment about doing things for free. And my advice as somebody who has seen many, many creators and talent fly through the years, when they fly, they dig in. And they dig in by often doing things for free. For example, let's say Samsung come to you and you're a small creator, but let's say Samsung come to you and say, hey, you know, we don't have the budget to pay you, but we'll gift you a free phone. And in exchange for us giving you that for a shoot, will you do a video for us? Now, I'm not saying that's correct from the brand to do that. However, if you're a creator who needs that leg up, who needs that moment, I would say, think about Usher at the Super Bowl as the most absurd example of that. How can your brand value go up through working with that brand? This is a really important philosophy, especially when you're starting out. You have to put the yards in, you have to put the time in. And often that can be for low money, if any money at all. And I think it's changing the mindset from seeing it as, well, you're getting exploited because somebody's not necessarily paying you, if there is some strategic benefit or value for me. This could be the leg up that helps transform your entire career as a talent, as a personality brand. So for me as a manager, it's always saying this. It's saying that there's more value than just money. The strategic value that you can get off the back of some partnerships can actually increase your brand tenfold in the long run. Usher, in his league, the Super Bowl is for free. It's the biggest marketing opportunity in the world. He does it for free because the uplift is there. Apply that same thinking to your own life, because you never know, by saying yes to something, what comes off the back of it. The second story this week is Kai Cenat, who recently announced announce a partnership with Nike. Now, Kai, as we all know, is one of the biggest streamers in the world. And Kai is somebody who has done an unbelievable job in building and scaling a brand, both in the streamer world, but also in the cultural world. He has rappers and artists come on his stream all the time. He's basically a part of pop culture in America in a way that really breaks out from the internet. And he recently announced on his stream that he signed a partnership with Nike. Now, what that partnership entails, we don't know yet, but we know that it will probably be something exciting, something big, something that taps into his huge audience, but also enables Kai to have that strategic leg up and financial leg up through working with somebody as big as Nike. And the thing that I really like about this is two things, really. One is that Kai has, I believe, done a great job at bridging the gap into the mainstream. He's also signed to UTA, who is the same agency as the Sidemen now over in America. And he has always, I think, had that mindset. It seems like he's trying to build something bigger and have that longevity by working his way into the mainstream conversation. And I think this Nike partnership sets it off. Obviously, I'm interested to know the numbers. I'm interested to see what it actually entails. The way I look at this, though, is that there's a lesson here. Kai is somebody who, although he's been authentically himself, has, it seems, tried to bridge into the mainstream through having those partnerships, through having the team behind the scenes. UTA, who are his agency, they will have brokered this Nike deal. And he could have only got the Nike deal really with a UTA behind him, with an agency who speaks at that top level. The key lesson for me is this: you need to be networking. So that's one thing for any talent, wherever you are in your career, have the mindset that you're trying to make those bridges into the mainstream world, into the brand world, because the more you put into that, the more you're gonna get out. The third story of this week, had to talk about it, the Sidemen documentary. So for those who don't know, the Sidemen, biggest YouTubers in Europe, are launching a documentary with Netflix this week. The Sidemen actually own the rights to the documentary, and they self-funded it and produced it with a documentary team over at Pangea. What was nice about our setup with Luke and Sunita is that Luke and Sunita, who run Pangea, bring the objectivity. They connect to an older audience, a different audience and viewpoint than the Sidemen obviously would have. But then for the Sidemen, they're able to bring their truth, their reality into the doc, so it feels authentic and real to them. This is their 10-year story. I think in bridging that gap, we've landed on something hopefully that people will like, but also something which gives us scope for the future to do what we want with it. But I think there's something interesting in this for any creator or any talent, right? 2 years ago, Netflix, I don't think, would ever have considered a documentary with the Sidemen. And JJ's doc, KSI in Real Life, was almost the first domino. That was the first one I'd seen of that scale before. So you look at the landscape and go, all right, well, you have two choices. You either wait for a Netflix to come to you, or you make something so good that Netflix want to take it. And I think that model, the idea, the mindset that you go out there for yourself, you make something happen, that's a mindset that's going to make you have a long-lasting career, because you can't wait for people out there, man. You cannot wait for people in the world, especially when it comes to partners, institutions that are more traditional, that don't necessarily understand how talent are coming through today. If you want to make it, you have to have that creator mindset. You have to go after it yourself, and you cannot wait for a Netflix to come to you. You have to go to Netflix with something so good that they will want it. That's the fundamental lesson. Do not wait anymore. And I think all these stories tie together really nicely in a fundamental lesson, and something that I've been pretty passionate about actually for a while, is the power of the mainstream. And for anyone out there who's looking to build a career with longevity, it's super important to appreciate that the mainstream institutions still have a ton of power. And we can talk about YouTubers and content creators disrupting and challenging the status quo, and that's all true, but it doesn't mean that the status quo is gonna go anywhere. So you might as well learn how the status quo works. You might as well understand how that top level infrastructure and institution, how they operate. You need to be able to play the game. The power of the mainstream is huge. And sometimes I think we need to be more after that mainstream validation. We need to be more after those mainstream touch points, because it's easy to live on the internet and forget that that's where long-term brands are built. If you can be accepted both by the internet and by the mainstream, then you've got a brand that can last. Trying to get into the mainstream as a creator is, I believe, super important. For the next part of the show, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be answering your questions. So I think that a big struggle that a lot of creators have and a lot of talent have is that finding advice and finding good advice is often difficult. So hopefully through these questions, which I'll be asking people to submit both in the comments of this video, in this podcast, but also on social, I'll be able to cover a lot of ground and help you as much as I possibly can as the manager that you never had, to do it for you for free. So let's do it. How do presenters get onto mainstream TV? First, let's dial back. How did presenters get onto mainstream TV? Well, the way the presenters used to get onto mainstream television was through essentially building up a career from children's TV going then into slightly more primetime and then getting onto primetime through a real decade-long career. Anton Deck started with Biker Grove, right? Biker Grove was a children's show that then extended from that show into bigger and better opportunities that then have now led to I'm a Celebrity, Saturday Night Takeaway, and the other shows that they now have as a staple of British TV. However, things have drastically changed because of social media. What happened over the last 5 years, of course, was social went through the roof. Social media influence took over. And as a result, the TV production companies and the commissioners at the channels could not ignore it anymore. To the point where they ended up going, actually, we need to get people with an audience because that's not only extra marketing, but how can we sit there and have someone who's not culturally relevant, who we pick, versus the people who the people pick? And so they were influenced by it, massively so. And you see that. Audiences are now basically a given. You must have an audience to break in TV as a presenter these days. And if you can think of any presenter that's done it without an audience, I'd be very surprised. And so people like an Amelia de Moldenberg, you've seen these people come through because partly they've built an incredible social reach to go alongside their amazing presenting ability. I think a really good example of this actually is Grace Barry. So GK Barry is somebody who has been building an incredible personality brand, both on her own through TikTok and now through the podcast Saving Grace with the Fellas Studios, to the point where she has a real connection and an audience that love her as a personality. She's also been honing her skills as a presenter. She's just doing a live tour right now, literally as we speak. And by building up her skills alongside her audience, she has everything to go into mainstream TV, whether it's to a Netflix and Amazon Prime, or whether it's to a linear traditional broadcaster, and sell herself into those channels. I would not be surprised if she took on some of these big shows and she was one of the ones up next, because she's so naturally funny, she's honed her skills, and she has an audience. It's the perfect, perfect mix. So if you want to break into mainstream TV today, the number one focus must be building your own audience. And if you can do that, I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to get as many opportunities as you like, if you build the skill set and the audience together. And remember, presenting on TV is not easy. Being a presenter is a hard skill. So learn that skill and employ that every single day, because nothing beats being good at something. So that'd be the way I'd say, if you want to get into mainstream TV, build those two things. Build your audience, build your skills as a presenter, do them in tandem and focus on them. Easier said than done, but that is the way you're going to get it today. Question number two. So I run a business in a typically boring industry. What should I be doing to attract new leads and fresh talent? The best way is to do what The Office did in a fictional sense. Build your personality brand, build your business and corporate brand by showing behind the curtain. And that all comes, in my opinion, from LinkedIn today. If you aren't using LinkedIn as a founder, as a company hiring manager, if you're not really driving on the platform and you're not doing it in a way that is showing under the hood of your company, then it's not going to be working. It's not going to be enough. We've been really fortunate at Arcade, right? Because of the Sidemen who speak for themselves. But also we've been showing a lot about the team, about the people behind the scenes. And as a result, you get a lot of applications because people, A, want to, of course, work with the superstars, the Sidemen, but also see that the team behind the Sidemen are nice people who are real, authentic, and who don't take themselves too seriously, which is the aim of what we're trying to do. The Fellas Studios are also doing an amazing job with their vlogs. Well, you want to work for them. They look so much fun being a part of that company. And I'd be very surprised if their applications are not through the roof. So build a personal brand. If you're a boring company in a boring industry, show the people behind the scenes, because I'm sure the people who work for you are not as boring, maybe, as the industry that you're in. Number three, how should streamers balance being themselves with the mainstream? So I think things are really changing on this front. It feels like in culture, what is acceptable today and what maybe was acceptable in the peak of cancel culture 2016, let's say, are two very different things. I think audiences are understanding, the ones who've growing up really now in this time, that people are flawed, people are messy, people say dumb things. And as long as you own up to them and you are taking accountability for these things, then there's a forgiveness there. And I think a lot of these streamers who are now coming up are a perfect testament to that. Think about someone like Speed. Every week there's something, right, which 5-6 years ago would have got him cancelled, that hasn't. These people are in a way uncancellable because they are just authentically themselves. They're not hiding anything. I think the challenge comes though when you want to work with mainstream brands. I think the people coming up in those companies will be more accepting, but there will still be a line. So the way that I would do it is I would make sure that you set your boundaries very clearly. Have that on a wall somewhere before you film anything. Really go through that in your head. Make sure that you know your levels, your boundaries, because ultimately you make your rod for your own back, whether good or bad. Views online will often be based in what's sensational. People are attracted to sensation and things that are extreme. But do you need to play that game in order to have success? No. And I know Kick, especially a lot of the streamers on that platform, are pushing that window out. But who do you want to be? Do you want to be in that lane? If you do, fine. But know that in doing so, you will be limiting your opportunities to work with brands and partners down the line, because there's always a scrubbing exercise that's done. Find the place that you want to be as a creator, choose that lane. But it starts with having those boundaries written on paper. What are the lines that you want to cross and what are the lines that you don't want to cross? I'm right at the start of my career. What are some of the things that I would be thinking about to protect myself now in case I want to go mainstream in the future? So this is a really good question and ties slightly into what we were talking about before. How do you protect yourself now at the start of your career for when you eventually smash it and blow up and do big things? It's about having a strategy. And that strategy needs to go into why you exist, your values, your boundaries, and the type of things that you want to be providing to the world. What value do you want to get out there? If you have that plan in place, and you especially have your boundaries, the things that you want to talk about, the things you don't want to talk about, the lines that you want to draw around yourself, you will be able to build your brand in a way that is commercial and for the future. If you're purely going out there completely unfiltered, doing whatever you want, saying whatever you want, you will likely trip yourself up. There are some exceptions, but you will likely fall into some problems. You need a plan. Make that your first priority today. And the fifth question is, how can I network with mainstream companies? So this is a really important thing. Networking is, for me, the fundamental, most important, the biggest golden opportunity for anybody out there, right? The way you network in 2024 is through two ways, I would say. One is LinkedIn, and the second is physical events. So for LinkedIn, how do you network on that platform? Easy. You build a profile that looks good, that shows very clearly who you are, what you do as a creator or as a talent, what your ambition is, what you're building. You share your process, you document your journey, and you connect with people. You build a little network and a community around what you do. Starting from a position where you have your brand clearly articulated so that people know who you are, what you do, and can see your work. So that's the first thing, LinkedIn, building that network. And the second thing is events. So I believe truly that physical events are the number one networking opportunity that still people don't really appreciate. And I think it's one of the biggest travesties of COVID that it killed off a lot of these events and these meetups. And I would say that anybody out there, wherever you live, have that in mind, that events should be the goal, to be physically present in your industry. And the reason why is because by being present, you are able to connect with random people who share a similar interest, who are all striving for the same thing, and you never know who you're going to meet. If you try that multiple times in the year, you're present and you go up to people who can actually impact your life, I guarantee you, if you do it in the right way, something will come from it. If you're willing to make yourself present, you will be seen, but it requires that first leap. And I guarantee you, if you do those two things, build your LinkedIn and go to events, things will start to happen for you. Right, and that is it. That is the first episode of Unbox 3.0, a brand new start to the show. I'm really excited about it. I think this is a very different approach for this show, but hopefully it's one that actually provides you with more value. I felt like the podcast, although great in so many ways, and I'm very fortunate to have spoken to all these incredible people, I think the world doesn't need another chat show. I really believe that. If I were on the other end of this, I would want this show. And if I was 5 years prior in my career, this is the kind of value that I would want. So hopefully I'll be getting that to you today. I really want to make this for you guys. If there's one thing I can do, is to be the manager that you never had, so that you can get all of the best things about being a manager from me, and that you don't need to go out there and try and find one, because we can have that relationship. So hopefully this did that a little bit. Please send me your questions for next week. Send me anything that you want me to cover and talk about. I'm here for you. This is our management meeting. So without further ado, please like, comment, share, subscribe. Share this to a creator or to somebody who wants to be a presenter or whoever. And we'll see you back for another episode of Unboxed next week.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.